This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Before we get into AMI at the movies, here is the trailer for the new Apple TV Plus science fiction drama Finch, which stars Tom Hanks.
It all happened so fast.
Dust storms rage.
There was a solar flare.
Goodbye crops and food, goodbye everything.
Desert covers a city.
So I did. Frightened. And so alone.
A man enters a high-tech bunker.
And I found you.
A dog waits for him. Tom Hanks.
What shall we have?
They dine.
Get your elbows off the table.
All right, you're next.
The man brushes his teeth.
You see, I'm developing something interesting.
Giant leap of faith.
He tinkers with a homemade robot.
Now, if you can speak, tell me something about you.
The robots must protect dog.
Warning. If we don't go before that storm hits, we'll die, all of us.
Amy Amante is here to offer her thoughts on the film. Amy is also the host of Accessing Art with Amy, a podcast you can find on your favorite podcasting platform. Hey, good morning, Amy. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Dave. I'm doing okay.
So, Amy, let's jump into what this is about, because I can tell it's a bit post-apocalyptic, but what's the overall story they're trying to tell here in Finch?
Well, ding, 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 Dave Brown. It is very post-apocalyptic. So we are looking at, here's the world we're in. This is 10 years have passed since this solar flare has destroyed the ozone layer, okay? So it's turning the planet Earth into largely an uninhabitable wasteland, which has been ravaged by extreme weather events and, I guess...
Social decay?
I'm trying not to give away all the spoilers here, but yeah, I mean, we're following Tom Hanks, who's playing Finch, and Finch is in this, they call it a bunker, but I believe it's where he worked before the apocalypse happened. He was a bit of a techno, and they go into all of that, you know. So he's got this little robot that I kind of refer to as an R2. It's like a scavenger robot and a dog, right? And so this is the story. And then, some stuff happens. And it turns out that Finch is planning to have to create a new robot to take care of this dog in the event of his passing.
To say that Tom Hanks is one of the biggest movie stars in the world is maybe a little bit of an overstatement these days, but there was a time when he was like the peak of Hollywood. And I'm getting some Castaway vibes a little bit from the setup from that trailer. How was his performance in this one?
Yeah, we have seen a movie like this before from Tom Hanks, and that was very much Castaway. So there are some similarities in the movies. Tom Hanks always can pull out a pretty darn good performance. He's a professional, and he is not the type of actor who, when you experience him, you're like, oh, that was the same character that he's the same in this movie as he was in that movie, right? So he's got a lot of versatility in how he performs, which is really, really nice. And these performances where you are solo or talking to inanimate objects or things that maybe don't respond to you, like another human being would respond to you, those are quite difficult performances because you're relying totally on your own skills. So I thought he did a fairly good job, from the acting perspective anyways.
Do you have a favorite performance in that kind of role? Again, Castaway is one of the big ones. We saw Matt Damon in The Martian a couple of years ago. Do you have a favorite kind of isolated actor kind of film? And I also wonder how much the advent of green screens is actually making this more common for actors and sometimes in ways that we don't even know.
Yeah, for the most part, I want to see actors interact. When it comes to these solo films, for me, they're not my favorite genre. I always give them a chance because I like the actor, I like the performer. I even in this one, I really like the the idea of the plot, right? Like a post-apocalyptic world. And of course, we're in a planet where we're 70 degrees Celsius, right? Like you can't go outside without the sun burning you, right? So what are you going to do? So I like seeing some of those. But I think what I've discovered in even in seeing these is that it's almost less about the world that you're in. Or sometimes, I want to rephrase that, Dave. Sometimes it's more about the world they're in and less about the human condition in that world. Mm. And it's the human condition piece that I find interesting. But sometimes I find, like in The Martian, they went to this extreme lengths of, you know, showing us the world, which is important. But I wanted to see more about how the character reacts to that world. So I find that sometimes for me, that balance isn't quite there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of more about the digital effects and, oh, look, we recreated Mars or whatever, than it is about what you do if you're stuck on Mars.
Yeah, yeah. How many of your own fecal potatoes can you eat during the course of a 2-hour film? Amy, let's talk about the robots, because sometimes these robots can be pretty engaging. Was this a sort of a CGI? Was it costume design? Tell me about this robot.
Okay, so the robot is played by a human being. His name is Caleb Landry Jones. And so, like, here's the idea of the robot. So it's a motion capture and a voice role. So in motion capture, they hook you up to a bunch of gizmos. A bit of a green screen kind of idea. I mean, if you think about Gollum, for example, mm-hmm. from The Lord of the mm-hmm. Rings. So you're wearing a green suit. There could be a green background, but not always. But what they do is they hook you up to a bunch of almost looks like medical devices so that as your body moves, it can track it on digitally. And then once it looks like a bunch of dots, like connect the dots, once those are digital, then they can start, creating the way the robot's face looks and the way the robot's arms look. So there's this combination of actor and digital, which I think we're going to see more and more of because the technology is getting better and better. So in this, like visually in this piece, you know, you kind of know that this is not a costume like C-3PO was a costume, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the old sort of days where we were making puppetry, actors were like puppets in those ways. So you can tell the difference, but that line is starting to get quite blurred where it's quite authentic looking. And you think to yourself, is that a real robot? Like, where did they find this robot to perform? And then my brain gets even like that rap, like, actors are going to become obsolete because they don't need us anymore.
Yeah, robots are less diva-esque than actors. We know that much.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. That's true, until they uprise against us. Amy, how was the audio description?
Yeah, audio description was pretty good. I mean, again, I would have appreciated a little more description about what this robot looked like and what the scavenger robot looks like, which is Dewey, you know, on a couple of little legs and goes out with a camera and is like, oh, look, can of something, right? So very different robots. And I would have liked to have had a little bit more of a juxtaposition because we have two robots as to what they were like different visually. Because certainly Dewey, the scavenger robot, is not a speaking robot, but Jeff is the kind of robot where you put a chip in and it's downloading a bunch of information and he's speaking to you basically like Jaws speaks to you, maybe a little bit more humanized. I think that was where the miss was for me in the description. But other than that, I was able to follow the plot line really well.
Any interesting production facts you want to share with us?
There's always really interesting production facts, I can say. I think what I thought was interesting is there are no other human beings in this film. So originally when it was cast, like Skeet Ulrich was cast in this film. Samira Wiley was cast in this film. Laura Harrier was cast in this film. They performed in this film. Yet when it was released, they weren't in the film.
Oh, interesting.
So what the web says, what the interweb says, is that they had to make the story more upbeat. And then it says no more. Right. So I don't know what capacity these humans were in. And they make reference to other humans in this show. For example, and this is not a spoiler, there's a bit of a car chase, but you never see another human. But so you know that they exist mm-hmm. out in the mm-hmm. post-apocalyptic world. And anybody who follows post-apocalyptic content knows that you kind of need to be afraid of other human beings.
Yes.
So they make reference to the fact that they exist, but you never see them. So I thought it was really interesting that originally there were other human actors cast in this and it was like, what to make it more upbeat. This is a post-apocalyptic film.
Yeah, so, sounds like typical studio meddling. It's like, oh, this movie's too downtrodden. It's like, yeah, sometimes movies are downtrodden.
It totally does. And then apparently they filmed this whole section of the film that was completely cut where the robot Jeff actually interacts with other human beings. Ooh. And you have to consider that Jeff is like, he's just born. So he kind of has the temperament of like a 13-year-old. And so doesn't quite understand the realities of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess there's this whole series of scenes where he's interacting with humans, but he hasn't been prepared by Finch to understand what, you know, he only knows Finch.
Amy,
so there you go.
Amy, we literally have 10 seconds out of 10. How do you rate it?
8.
8 out of 10. Amy, thank you for this.
10. Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.